Good morning and welcome. Great to see everyone this morning. Hope you are staying safe and well. Amir Tzashem, we will be back together in person at some point, but we didn't feel that this was the right time to create that in-person feeling with everything that's going on in the world. Rav Shlomo should help us that we should be able to get back together soon. We're on this journey. We are learning and we're growing. We began by asking the question, who is a Jew? That was where we started. And when we asked that question, we then said, well, how do we define Jew, Yehudi? When you say me, Yehudi, well, what is the word Yehudi? So last week we explored and we developed the idea that the word Yehudi means distinct. But the question then is, when something is distinct, you have to ask and you have to wonder, what makes it distinct? What is distinctive about it? What is the distinctiveness of Judaism? And that's a crucial question, of course, as that informs the meaning of the word Jew, of Yehudi, and me Yehudi. But for all of us, deep down, when we're thinking about, and hopefully through this journey, exploring and really digging a little deeper for ourselves of what our Jewishness means. What does it mean to be a Yid, to be a Jew, to be a Yehudi? To understand that distinctiveness is crucial. And as we will see today, probably it gets to our essence. So perhaps we can summarize the distinctiveness of Jewishness in one phrase, and even in one word. And that phrase is that Jewish distinctiveness is a bond with Hashem. That is what is distinctive of Jews, of a Jew, of Judaism. That's what is distinctive about us. What makes us distinct is our bond with Hashem, the word bond. So the truth is, we could call it right now. I see some of you on the screen. You're thinking, all right, Shine, let's get on with our Sunday. You know, it's time for raking leaves. We have to get outside. Our goal today is to explore, what does that mean? How do we see this? Where is it expressed? And what does it mean for us? What does it mean that we have a bond with Hashem? So I'm going to bring up on the screen now the Webster Dictionary definition of the word bond. Now, this is important because what we will find is that there are multiple elements. There are three aspects of a bond which can inform our Avodas Hashem, our Jewishness, what it means to be a Jew. And you see on the screen the different definitions of the word bond. And it means, and it has perhaps three overarching connotations. The first one, I'm not going in order, but conceptually, the first connotation, the definition of the word bond, is something that creates a connection, a tie, a unity. Even you see here, it's described a unity between two things. That's the first aspect of the word bond. Our bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What makes us distinct, what makes somebody a Jew, is that that person has a bond, has a connection, has a unity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yisrael v'orayis v'kodesh Baruch Hu chadu. There is a oneness about a Jew and God, which obviously is even beyond what we can understand, because we can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we have this tradition, we have this notion that we have a unique unity, a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is something that ultimately even a German-born Catholic Pope can articulate, which we'll talk about in a little bit. This is the core component. There is an idea that we have a connection, a unity with an achdus, a connection with the Almighty. That's what a Jew has. But the other elements of bond, which are described here in the definition, is an attractive force, which I thought was an interesting idea. Or it's being used here, right, the concept of chemistry, of an attractive force, or the bonds of friendship. There's an element of love, of ahava, in the word bond. And the third is that interesting definition at the top, something that binds or restrains. or the second definition, a covenant. So let's look at these elements. The first one that you see on the screen here is the connection of love, the bond of love. What is the quality of our bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It is a bond of love. There is a beautiful pasuk in the context of a very challenging story. It's a sad story. It's a story that is told to us by the Navi Hosea, and most of the stories in Hosea are not pretty and they're not pleasant, because they, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, they speak to a lot of the challenges, a lot of the struggles that we have in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our failures, etc. But there is such a beautiful phrase. We're talking about bonds. How would you say the word bond in Hebrew? So the Pasuk says in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, Em Shechem Ba'avosos, I will pull them with avosos, avosos, ayin, beis, vav. Where am I? Yeah, I know it's no vav. It's tough vav stuff. Ayin, beis, tough vav stuff. Avosos, ahava. Bonds of love. In Tanakh, when you find the word bond, it means with love, with care, with compassion, with concern. Avosos Ava. So I saw this an amazing, amazing pshat from the Halige Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe from 100 years ago. The Imre Emes, the great Ger Rebbe, he said, the word avos is also the same word, right? To make a cord, to bond, it's like anaf eitz avos. A hadas is referred to in the Chumash as avos. What makes it avos? That it has three leaves. It's mishulash. We had a few weeks ago Sukkos. You took the hadas, you look at it, you wanted to know if the hadas is mishulash. When the Gemara says anaf eitz avos, you wanted to know if the bottom of the three little leaves of the hadas at every layer, are those at the same layer, at the same level? Excuse me. Are the little hadasim leaves, are those leaves braided at the same layer? They extend from the same point. That's called mishulash. Three little leaves together, that's anaf eitz avos. Anaf eitz avos, with an ayin. Why do we have three leaves together? Says the Halige Imre Emes, because it reminds us of the three avos of our forefathers. Because the bonds of the Jewish people with HaKadosh Baruch Hu are bound up with the avos, that bond that comes from our avos, which is avosos ava. Avos, our bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is love. And that's why we are distinct. That's what the Pasuk says in Devarim. You have it on the page. The Pasuk tells us, Rak ba'avosecha choshak Hashem la'ava osam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved the avos. He had an ava for them. Vayivchar bizar machareim. And therefore, he chose us. We have a distinct relationship with him. We have a bond, a connection, a unity with him that is chosen b'chem with us. Mikol ha'amim kayom hazeh. Why? Because he chose our forefathers ba'ava, with love. And earlier, in Perek Zion, Ki am kodesh la'Hashem Elokecha, we are a holy nation to God, like the Pasuk says much, much earlier in the Chumash, that we are a mamleches kohanim, we are an am segula, segula, we are a treasure. We are, the Pasuk says in Vayikra, va'avdil eschem en amim, God designated us, he made us distinct, lios li, that we are just in this bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why did he choose us? Lo me'rubchem pasuk zayin mikolam amim chashak Hashem b'chem. Rather, ki me'avas Hashem eschem, because Hashem loves us. He loves us like he loved our forefathers, like our parents, like our grandparents, like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he swore to us that he would take us back. He would take us out. Our connection, our unique relationship with God, our distinction, our distinctiveness, is that we have a bond of love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we return that love. Avram, says the Maseches Ketanos, appears several places in Shas, is Nikra Ov. He is called beloved. He is beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Zera Avraham Ohavi. because we are the descendants of Avram who loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He loves us, and we love him back. It's a bond of love. But this bond is so powerful, this love is so strong, it's important to know that it's not conditional. L'dugma, a parent, a normal, healthy parent, will love their child even if that child doesn't express love back. It's just this unconditional love that we call Ava She'ena Tuliya B'davar. God loves us unconditionally. And that's why the Maharal says in this context something phenomenal. Did you ever wonder why it is that we don't know anything about, in the Chumash, about the upbringing of Avram Avinu? We don't know anything about what his life was like when he was a kid. We don't know anything about how he met Sarah. Rav Shechter Shlita likes to point out, maybe he met Sarah at a New Year's party. We have no idea. Why is that? And it's a challenge, by the way, to educate children, because like children come home from school, they say Avram was thrown into the fiery furnace. That's what the Medrash says. But the Chumash doesn't say he went into a fiery furnace. It doesn't say anything that happened. So why not? Maharal asks this question, you see here in Netzach Yisrael on the page. Let me see if I can make it a little bigger. Yes, we can. How about that? Says the Maharal, Shelo hiskir hakosav tzidkas Avram kodesh enigla olav ashchina v'amar lo lech lecha me'artzecha. Yesterday we read in the Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, lech lecha me'artzecha. Why? We don't know. Maharal says here in Netzach Yisrael, the Chumash does not tell us. She'im ha'kachaya, you might have thought, had it told us, had it made that known, maybe God said lech lecha because of a particular merit, because of a particular zchus. And if that's the case, says the Maharal, im kein haya zos ha'ava tluya bedavar, Hashem's love for Avram Avinu would be because he did such a thing. V'chol ava tluya bedavar, that's not real love. Real love is unconditional. It's not dependent. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not tell us why he chose Avraham. And on some level, it's a mystery. It's one of the divine mysteries that we don't know 100%. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham? We'll talk about that in a little bit. But ultimately, Hashem didn't tell us why he chose him, because he didn't want us to think, well, maybe we can't live up to the level of Avram. Maybe he's not going to choose us. Maybe he doesn't choose me. Maybe to be in that bond of love, you have to be at the level of Avram Avinu. Not true. Vayivchar bezaram la'ava, that love is unconditional. It's eina tuluya bedavar. It's not hinged on anything, and therefore it can never be nullified. Last line of Maharal, Ki Abachira Azos, this choosing, this bond with us, Lo Talya Bizchus Klal, it doesn't depend on Zchusim at all. V'lachach Yefshar Shiyadavar Zebatal, it cannot ever be abrogated, can never be diminished. To be a Jew means to be loved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu unconditionally. There's a line, they say, from the Heliger Rabbi Aaron of Karlin, the great, the first Rabbi Aaron the Gadol, the Aaron Karliner. He says, I wish I could love the greatest tzaddik the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves even the lowest Jew. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Or Ein Sof. He's endless. So that means his love is endless. Can you imagine such a thing that a person, if we would really, really feel what it means to be a Jew, means to be in this bond of unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is with endless love? But that's what it means to be a Jew. That's what it means, says the Eilat HaSfasem, to be a Yehudi, to be a Jew. Why? Because the Sfasem says, take a look here, and this is in Purim, Tuf Reish Samach Gimel. So it's 100 and, where are we now? Pei Aleph. So it's almost 118 years ago, right? Samach Ayin Pei, almost 118 years ago. So now we're in 2020. So this is, I don't know, I can't do the math. 118 years ago, on Purim, said the Hilas Kesvas Emes. That's what we spoke about last week, that with Mordechai and the Megillah, we keep talking about the words Yehudim. He's a Yehudi, Ish Yehudi, HaYehudim, Misyadim. B'Megillah Nikra Yisrael Brak B'Shem Yehudim. Why are we called Yehudim, Jews? Not Yisraelim, not B'nei Yaakov, not B'nei Yisrael. Kizeh Hashem Lo'olam B'Yisrael. This is the permanent name of the Jew. The Jew is always a Yehudi. Afilu bedoros hashfalim, or hashfalim, even in the shfalim, even in the low generations, that we're not so great. As long as shekofer b'avodah zarah, we deny idol worship, umodim el emes, we tell the truth, v'zeh b'chinas Yehuda, that Yehuda declared his distinctiveness. This is what we spoke about last week, that to be a Jew, it means not just to recognize that we are distinct, but to acknowledge it, to be moded, to be kofar b'avodah zarah. And that's why we are called Yehudim, because the Dalid in Yehudi, Dalid means dal, it means impoverished, it means small, diminished. When a Jew, and you can look at this in different ways, but even when a Jew is dal, when a Jew is diminished, when we are lost, when we've lost our way, even if, God forbid, a person, and we'll talk about this more barichas in weeks ahead, a person gets lost, even, God forbid, a meshumad, something like that. But that connection, what happens when you take the letters Yehuda, Yud, and He, and Vav, and Dalet, and He, and you take out the Dalet, what are you left with? The Shem Havaya. The Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of God. Yud, and He, and Vav, and He. That is Yehuda, says the Sfas Emes. V'shem Yehudim, Jews, is lamata mishemas Yaakov Yisrael. It's the lowest level, because it's the unbroken love. It's that bond of ahava that exists permanently. That's the concept of a bond, of a chemistry, of a love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. That's what it means to be a Jew. A Jew is to be in a unity, in a connection with God, which is suffused with love. But this brings us to the third element. It's not just about the unity and about the love, but love is correlated with something, is connected with something. Although it is not predicated upon, as we said, it entails something. It entails commitment. Where do you see love expressed? Love is expressed and is associated with commitment. Rachmana litzlan, a person should never know from such a thing, but sometimes you have friends or you have a couple and they love each other. So what happens, Rachmana litzlan, if one member of this team, of this couple, of this bond becomes ill? So that person sometimes needs a lot of time. They need a lot of care. They need hand-holding. And so in a loving relationship, in a bond of love, imagine, for example, a spouse, and many of us know this situation from first-hand experience, whether it's with someone in our own family, our own spouse, or a parent. When you have a deep and beautiful love relationship, what happens? The commitment comes through. And so the spouse who's well will say, you know what, I wanted to go doing this and that and the other thing. I was going to do that. I was excited. But that doesn't matter right now because I'm committed to you. So that means that the person will drive the spouse to an appointment, to stay home with them, to keep them company, to pick up the medicine from Walgreens, to go out late at night and even get it at the drive-thru, you know, when it's freezing cold and you're in your slippers. And if Rachman al-Islan, it gets to the point that person needs to be in the hospital. So what happens when there's love? Then there's commitment. The person will say, I'll stay in the hospital. I'll sleep, you know, in the hospital they have chairs. I don't know, maybe it's because of disinfectant. People in this chevra, you know much better than I do what it means to be. Some of you have seen it personally. You go to that hospital chair, they have special material that's uncomfortable. They call the distributors, can you please send me a chair that has plastic that will stick to my pants when I get up from it? So it's like extracting yourself. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know why it is like that. It's not shock that you should sleep in such a thing. You cannot sleep in that. Your body can like not be awake, but you cannot sleep. Basha, it's not shaykh to sleep in those things. But when a person is in a place of love, so that person sits in that chair, whether it's Rahman al-Islam, a wife or a husband or a child or a parent, lo aleinu. But when there's love, you see that commitment, it's mamish, it's like az, like iron. Nothing can stop a person who is in a bond of love, because if there's a commitment, it's an unbreakable commitment, and commitment is associated with sacrifice. So love, when it's true love, when it's deep, when it's a bond, it's associated with commitment. Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves him unconditionally. Avada, he loves him unconditionally. But it's not coincidental that Avram Avinu is chosen. The Pasuk does tells us, Va'avram, here on the next page, Va'avram, source number 6, Va'avram, hoyo yi elagoi gadol v'yatsum, Avram Avinu is going to be a great nation, v'nivrchu v'vo kol goy aretz, he's going to be the source of blessing, he's going to be the designated conduit for the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. He's going to have that unity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that connection. Ki yidatev, because I know lamana sheyitzave esbonav esbeiso achrov. He's going to command his children, his household, his generations. V'shamru derech Hashem. They're going to watch the way of God. Lasa tzedaka u'mishpat. To do righteous, to do right by people. To be just, to be fair. Laman in order, and that's going to be Havi Hashem al Avram Eisa Shardi Beri Love. Avram Avinu is chosen be'ahava, the avoso sahava. And that avoso sahava, it comes with commitment. Avram is committed. I want to share with you 4 expressions of this idea, that love and commitment, they go together. It's not a stira. It's not a contradiction. Is it the pshat that Rachman al-Itzlan, you have someone who is in a loving relationship, and the person is committed to the other person, says, and the person who is sacrificing and is there to sit in the hospital, to sit in that chair, to keep them company, to get them that straw, to put it in their mouth so they can take a drink when their lips are parched. Is that compromising love? Or is that an expression of love? Right? You could say, well, if the person who's lying in that hospital bed really love the person who's sitting in the chair next to them, they would say, go shopping, go have a great time, go do what you want to do. And of course, they usually say that. But the person who's sitting in the chair, their expression of love is in the commitment of being there together with that person. So to make a sacrifice of someone, that doesn't say there is no love. It means there is love. These two ideas of love and commitment are going to go together. 4 examples. Here's the first one. The Pasuk says, when we got to Har Sinai, Vayisyatzvu besachtis hahar. And we stood besachtis, which literally means underneath the mountain. So says the Mechilta to Rabbi Shmuel. Mechilta Rabbi Shmuel says, what it means, Vayisyatzvu? It means nitzfafu. It means we stood together, we squished together. Imagine we were under an umbrella or an overhang, and you were standing tightly together so we could all take cover. Malamed says the Mechilta to Rabbi Yishmael, Shel Yisram is Yarm of Ne'azikim Ne'azvos Me'arom Me'abrokim. We were afraid. There was lightning. There was thunder. There was noise. There was earthquakes. So we stood under this mountain, and we were all squished together. Malamed Shel Nitla Shaharmi Mekomo. It teaches us that the mountain picked up from its place. V'karvu V'omdu Tachasar. We stood under the mountain. As it says, Alam Afurish Bekabala, what does this mean? It says a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which is a love story. Yonasi, my dove, my Jewish people, Bechag Vehasela, in the cleft of the rock. Yonasi, Bechag Vehasela. At Har Sinai, it was the time, as the Paitan describes, Chikike Chorev, the wedding. The time of love. We looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He looked at us. We had those like glassy eyes, that look, which is a shtickle embarrassing. You know, I'll never live it down. When we got married, Nechama and I got married, Baruch Hashem, we had the zchus of having Rav Shechter Shalita be our Masada Kedushin. So he came to Miami and he was our Masada Kedushin. So there's someone at the wedding who works in a particular school in a different community before we ever heard of Chicago. I'd never even been to Chicago. So we got married, and at the wedding, apparently, I found this out later, apparently this principal of this school went over to Rav Schechter and asked about me whether I had any personality, because he was thinking maybe he was going to try to hire me for their school. And he didn't know, you know, maybe I come across very boring and very stiff and I'm very conservative. So apparently this person asked Rav Schechter if I had any personality. And Rav Schechter told him, he says, yes, he has a lot of personality. Didn't you see him making eyes at Nechama under the chuppah the whole time? I'm like, ah, it was so embarrassing. So this person went and, of course, told it to my mother-in-law. I didn't end up working in that school. I came to Chicago, Baruch Hashem. But imagine at that moment of the greatest love, when you're standing under the chuppah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're making eyes at each other. So that's the one feeling. There's the feeling of love of Matan Torah, of the time of Yonasi, my beloved, the Rebbe Shalom is covering us, so we shouldn't be afraid. We're making eyes at each other under the chuppah. Yes, but there's also an intensity. Melamed, the Mechilta to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to us, Im atem mekabel maleichem es haTorah muta, vim lav sham tek v'raschem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to us at Maamar Har Sinai, says, Chevra, I love you, I always love you, I'm going to love you unconditionally. But you also have to understand that there's a commitment here. There's a commitment. Because you cannot have love without commitment. They go together. We're going to stand by each other in every circumstance. We got to be committed to each other. Har Sinai, love and commitment. Similarly, we're going to say every day, we said it this morning in davening, we said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. God is one. And we as Jewish people, as neshamas, as Tzelem Elokim, but specifically that spark of that neshama, which we'll talk more about next week, we have a part of that Echad. So we introduce Shema with a bracha. We introduce Shema with a bracha. We say either Ava Rabba, so much love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you love us. Avas Olam, a tremendous love. A love that's Olam forever. The bracha begins before Kriya Shema, Avas Olam. But what's that bracha? That bracha is about Torah. Torah is a commitment. If we don't have this understanding, and some of us maybe were raised like this or heard this or whatever, if we don't understand that the context of this relationship, of a bond with Hashem, includes love and commitment, so then we are told, we got to Sinai and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a gun to our head and he said, take the Torah. That doesn't sound very appealing. The Torah itself, it's a huge commitment. It's 613 mitzvahs, and that's what people say, that's what it says in the Gemara in the end of Makos, but I'll tell you a secret, we all know this secret. It's a lot more than 613. It's just 613 if you follow the exact klolim of the Rambam, or the Ramban, or Rav Sadia Gaon, or the Bahag. It's a ton more, it's thousands, and then there's mitzvahs to Rabbanan, and it's endless. V'gisabo yomo v'layla is an amazing calling, because it's like a never-ending commitment. So someone says to you, what is a life of Torah? It's a life of commitment. You say, whoa, it sure is a life of commitment. But it's not in a vacuum. It's the commitment in the context of the Ava Rabba Avas Olam. So just look at Shema. What is Shema? Shema is a synergy. It's a synthesis of V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. We love you. We're in a love relationship. And it's also Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim at the same time. Receiving that Ol, that commitment. But it's got to go together. If there's no commitment, is there real love? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is committed to us and we're committed to Him. That takes the expression of Maamar Har Sinai. It takes the form of Kriya Shema. It takes the form of mitzvos, of kedusha. Think about that for a second, this example. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, I'm going to give you opportunities to connect to me. These are expressions of love, but they're also expectations of commitment. They're also ways in which we live up to that standard, to that being with Him. So we say the words, Asher Kiddushanu, when we are going to approach a mitzvah, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, you are mekadesh us with mitzvos. What is the feeling in the word Kiddushanu? Friday night we make Kiddush. We say Kiddush. You know, if, there's an old joke about a Baal Tshuva who comes to the host for the first time for a Shabbos meal, and the host says, "Okay, it's time to make Kiddush." So the Baal Tshuva's looking around. He's like, "Where are the grapes? Where are you going to make the Kiddush?" Right, Baal Tshuvas, right, they teach us so much about ourselves. It's very important sometimes to stand from the outside. So we say Kiddush, we recite Kiddush, but the truth is we make Kiddush. We create the sanctity of this space. What does it mean, Lekadesh? What do we associate the word Kiddush with? Hare at Mikudeshes. You are beloved, you are sanctified. Every time we say Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you sanctified us, it means you said to us, Hare at mikudeshesli. You are distinct. You are distinguished. You are distinctive to me in a relationship with love. Every time Asher Kiddushanu, when we do a mitzvah, out of Kiddushanu, it means mikudeshes. So Kiddush, it's Kiddushin. Hare at mikudeshesli. We're connected to each other in love. But you know what that also means? It also means there's a commitment. That's what Tosfos points out. Tosfos in Kiddushin, right there in the beginning of Maseches Kiddushin, on Daf Beis Amid Beis, Tosfos says, do you know what the word Hare at Mekudeshes means? So Tosfos here, you see in the small, Dibur Maschol, Da'asar La'akuli Almed, when a man gives a ring or $10 or a handkerchief to a woman, says Hare ad mekudeshes li, you are sanctified. The word mekudeshes comes from the word hektish. Da'asar la, the Gemara says akule alma, that this woman is prohibited. She is in a commitment that she is not allowed to marry anyone else, to live with anyone else, to be in a relationship with anyone else. Just like hektish is designated, that when you consecrate something to the Beis Hamikdash, it's exclusive. It's not allowed anywhere else. V'hareat mekudeshesli, kolomar, says Tosfos, liosli mekudeshes la'olam bishvili, committed, designated to me, hakamo hare hein mekudashen la'shamayim, just like when you designate something for the Beis HaMikdash. Upshita demilsa, and the simple understanding is mekudeshesli miyuchedesli mezumenesli, designated just for me, distinct, just for me. And that's why it has this last line, it has this connotation, Leos hi lo hi as neseres lakol, just to be designated to everyone, designated to me, us or to everyone. Hare at mikudeshes li. So we see this concept of love and commitment expressed at Har Sinai when we created that covenant, that bond. Go back to the definition of bond, right? It had the word covenant. A loving covenant. We see it when we say Shema. We see it when we do mitzvos asher kiddushanu, that we have kiddushin, but it's also mekudeshes, it's designated. And we see it, I think, also in Shabbos. Shabbos is maybe the ultimate expression of commitment. And commitment means sacrifice. When you're committed to someone, and you're committed to being with them, and that means that, God forbid, the person needs you to stay with them in the hospital, so you're sacrificing your time. If you're committed to someone in a relationship, so you send them flowers, it means you're committed to sacrificing your resources, your funds, your money. Commitment is associated with sacrifice. We spoke about that last week. The distinctiveness of the Jew, of the sacrifice, that sacrifice comes from a commitment in the context of love. Shabbos is a perfect example of this. Shabbos is the ultimate commitment because the person lets go. They say, you know what? I'm not going to take care of myself, and I'm going to be committed to just designating time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to be time when I let go of everything else and I focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to stop work. I have to shut my store. I have to lose money. Many of you have mentioned, I've mentioned this so many times, but I mentioned it because it's such a big influence on me. My maternal grandfather, my grandpa, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, a Pashat Yid, Pashat Yid, Erlich Yid, how when he came to America, he supported his whole family. His father was a Rav in Austropolia. His brother didn't have, you know, it was a younger brother. They brought him to America. He didn't have the opportunity to work. He was going to go to yeshiva. He had sisters, his mother, supported all seven members of his family. He went to work. He got fired every Friday until he got a job working in a market somewhere in New York, stocking shelves and cleaning the bathrooms and washing the floor. $7 a week, he told me, $7 a week. Shabbos is a commitment. It's a commitment to keep Shabbos. Today, there are people in our community who we know who they are. They're dealing with billion-dollar deals. And they say, when comes Shabbos, they say, I'm sorry. I have to take a break. I'm committed to something. It's a commitment, and it's a sacrifice. The fact that we can't drive anywhere, the fact that we can't create on Shabbos. So if you took somebody and you took them in a vacuum and they said, you know what? I'm going to actually take away your cell phone for 25 hours, which actually that's a bracha. Okay. I'm going to take away your cell phone for 25 hours. You're not going to be able to drive anywhere. You're not going to be able to fix anything in your garage. You're just going to have to meditate. And of course, it's obvious that it's a bracha, but you take somebody else and they sound like, oh my gosh, that's such an unbelievably challenging commitment. It is a commitment. But it's a relationship of Ahava. So in the Shemone Esrei, whenever we talk about Shabbos, Yontif, we also mention Ba'ahava. But in the Nusach of the Tefillah, when we have Yontif that coincides with Shabbos, Vatitan Lon Hashem Elokeinu Ba'ahava, God gave us, with love, He gave us Yontif. Yontif is a sacrifice, but at least you're allowed to cook. You can put around the kitchen. Chag, we just said this on Sukkos. Mo'adim L'simcha, Chag Mizman L'sason Es Yom. So we said, Es Yom Chagasukas Hazeh. But what does it say in the art scroll? In the tiny letters in the art scroll, right in the gray box, when, like we had this Yontif, Shabbos Yontif, we say Yom Shabbos Hazeh, Es Yom Chagasukas Hazeh, Zman Simchas Seinu, and it's Shabbos Be'ahava. It's with love. Because the sacrifice, the commitment of Shabbos is co-joined, it's synonymous with, it's integrated with the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us on Shabbos. By actually shutting everything out, we could feel that love. We could focus on that love. It's a time of love. It's a relationship of love. Because when you have a bond, when you have this connection of unity, it has both love and commitment. It has that beautiful feeling, and it also has a sacrifice. And it's because of those features of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have that bond, that bond makes us distinct. That's what it means to be a Jew. To be a Jew means to be in a bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a bond of love and of commitment. So when people see us as individuals and collectively as a group, as a nation, they see that's a people that is distinct. Hein an levada yishkon. We are separate. We are distinct. That's what we spoke about last week from the Heilige Rav Teichtal, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Hashem Yikom Domo Zechus Yagon Aleinu. We are distinct. Levodad Yishkon. Our distinction is that we are in a bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pope saw that. Pope Benedict, in 2006, he went to Auschwitz. And he made a little speech in Italian. This Pope, who was Naniach, I don't know him, I don't know the circumstance. According to the research, it says that he was forced to join the Hitler Youth. He was actually drafted into the Wehrmacht at the end of the war, became Pope Benedict. He said that it was difficult for him to speak, and he spoke Dafka in Italian, not in German, when he went to Auschwitz. Pope Benedict XVI, on the 28th of May 2006, he said the following. He said, the rulers of the Third Reich wanted to crush the entire Jewish people, to cancel it from the register of the peoples of the earth. I'm reading to you from the website of the Vatican. If you have it in the Mar Mekomos, you see it there. This is what the Vatican published, the English translation, the official translation of the Pope's words in Auschwitz from the Italian. Thus, the words of the psalm, we are being killed, accounted as sheep for the slaughter, were fulfilled in a terrifying way. Deep down, those vicious criminals, by wiping out this people, wanted to kill the God. The God who called Abraham, who spoke on Sinai and laid down principles to serve as a guide for mankind. I don't know if the Pope, now he's the Pope Emeritus, he's the retired Pope, but if this Pope ever knew everything we talked about, of the bond that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with Avram, Zera Avram, Oavi, that it's a bond of love, that we represent that love, that connection to the Avos, or it's the commitment that Avram had, and that we had at Sinai, the Sinai bond of love and commitment, and laid down principles to serve as a guide for mankind, principles that are eternally valid. If this people, by its very existence, was a witness to God, to the God who spoke to humanity and took us to himself, then that God finally had to die and power had to belong to man alone, etc. Even the Pope understands that an attack on Jews for being Jews is an attack on God, because we are one. Yisrael v'orayis v'kudsho b'richu, he comes back to the same point. And the Pope recognizes that that expression of our distinctiveness as Jews is that unity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through both love, the avosos ha'ava of our avos, and the commitment. That's what makes us Jews. That's what people have tried to destroy. That's what the Germans, Yimach Shemam v'Zichram, in the 1930s, 1940s, and Bechol Dor V'Dor Omdo Malena L'Chaloseinu, people have tried to destroy us because we are Jews, because we have a bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we need to celebrate. We need to come back to every aspect of our Yiddishkeit, everything that we do, every perspective needs to be reinforced through this lens of the bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That bond that means that we represent God, we express God, we are connected with God through love and through commitment. Mirtz Hashem, next week, we need to talk about, well, if this is a particular bond that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a special and unique love, so what does that mean for how we think about others? If you think about a Jew, what it means to be distinct, and now that we know what is distinctive about us, we need to understand our place among others. Because we keep coming back to this idea of mi Yehudi. Who is a Jew? Well, what is a Jew? We know that a Jew is distinct. A Jew has a bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that bond is in a greater context. So that's what we're going to focus on next week. Habo aleinu l'tova. I thank you all for